as the Supreme Lord, he can increase or decrease the duration of life of a living being. Thus the Lord conducted the battle of Kurukshetra according to his own plan. He wanted the battle to establish Yudhisthira as the emperor of his planet, and to facilitate this transcendental business, he killed all who were on the opposite party by his omnipotent will. The other party was equipped with all military strength, supported by big generals like Bhishma, Drona, and Shalya. And it would have been physically impossible for Arjuna to win the battle had the Lord not helped him by every kind of tactic. Such tactics are generally followed by every statesman, even in modern warfare. But they are all done materially by powerful espionages, military tactics, and diplomatic maneuvers. But because Arjuna was the Lord's affectionate devotee, the Lord did all this himself without personal anxiety by Arjuna. That is the way of the devotional service to the Lord. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Mukham Karutivacharam Angam Nangai Vrigiri Yatribhaju Mahadeshi Gurun Panasha Kalpatri Vishra Vipasam Yedivacha Patitanam Pabhu Vaishna Vibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, Hare Krishna. So we are hearing once again about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and his pure devotee Arjuna. Now this is all recollection, of course, reminding us of the relationship between Krishna and Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, how Krishna was acting as Parthasarathi, the cherished driver of this devotee. And now here we are getting an understanding about the position of the Supreme Lord and the living entity, the proper understanding that we're eternally just servants of Krishna, and we are insignificant living entities. All our strength, all our knowledge, even our forgetfulness is coming from the Supreme Lord Krishna. So Arjuna is acting on behalf of all of us to try and make us understand that ultimately all our intelligence, all our powers, all our strength is actually coming from Krishna. So there's a wonderful pastime I remember between Srila Prabhupada and his disciple, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami, when Srila Prabhupada was making his last visit to London. All these Sankirtan devotees assembled in London to be with Srila Prabhupada because they knew that was giving Srila Prabhupada immense strength and spiritual ecstasy by hearing these Sankirtan scores. So, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was traveling from the Soviet bloc along with a few devotees to London to see Srila Prabhupada. And it was a tradition His Holiness Kamalakrishna Maharaj would read the Sankirtan scores every morning to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was getting very happy to hear all these scores. And when Maharaj Bhaktivedanta Maharaj arrived, they all told Srila Prabhupada that back then, of course, his name was Ghanashyam Das Brahmachari. And he, Tamil Krishna Maharaj explained to Prabhupada that Ghanashyam has come, and they brought him into the room. And Prabhupada, of course, embraced him, glorified him, explaining that, you know, he will see Krishna in this life. He is very fortunate. He is empowered by Krishna. So the next day, Ganesha Prabhu was personally called to read the Sankirtan. He was led to read the book's course. And as he was doing this with great enthusiasm, and as he explained it with a lot of pride, he was reading the Sankirtan newsletter. And at that minute, Srila Prabhupada looks disinterested in hearing these thoughts. And it got to such a degree that Maharaj himself stopped and asked if he was disturbing Prabhupada, because Prabhupada didn't look enthused at all. And Prabhupada just looked at him and said, Krishna is the doer. Just that one statement, he said, Krishna is the doer. Don't ever forget. So Maharaj said that was the most affectionate reciprocation that he had ever got from Srila Prabhupada, because it made him understand exactly his position. No matter how much preaching he was doing, all the books he was distributing, ultimately he understood that he was just being used as an instrument, but actually Krishna is the one who is making all these arrangements for him to preach the glories of Krishna. So he was emphasizing this point more, because he said in this entire Leela, most devotees just knew the first part, which was being embraced by Prabhupada, being glorified in front of all the devotees. But he said for him that wasn't the best part of the pastime. He said the most memorable part of this pastime was Prabhupada explaining to him that Krishna is the doer, and that we are all just instruments. So similarly, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, while conversing with Arjuna, and here, of course, Arjuna himself had explained that actually all the strength Arjuna had in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, all the intelligence, the ability he had, that was all coming from Krishna. But it was not possible for him to defeat all these great warriors like Bhishma, Karna, and Drona. It was not possible for Arjuna to do so. But because he had been favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, it was possible for Arjuna to perform all these seemingly impossible tasks. Prior to this, we were hearing about how Arjuna even traveled to the abode of Lord Indra in the self-same body, and how he was able to defeat certain demons in the heavenly planet, or powerful personalities in the heavenly planet, and how the demigods, including Lord Indra himself, took shelter of Arjuna. Arjuna gave them protection. So Arjuna himself could see that all these activities were actually by the potency of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord gives the living entity strength. He gives the living entity spiritual strength to be able to conquer what seemingly looks impossible. So Krishna, by his mercy, gives us the ability to act in Krishna consciousness. So whatever strength that we might have, it is ultimately coming from Krishna. So this is a very important understanding, because that will humble us in our attempts in bhakti, understanding that it is coming from Krishna. Of course, we make the endeavor and Krishna reciprocates. So Arjuna's endeavor in Bhagavad Gita, we understand that Arjuna was playing the part of a perfect disciple, to the point where Arjuna could understand his limited scope, his limited nature. He wasn't able to hear Krishna. But as soon as Arjuna accepted that he has no way of materially understanding the battlefield of Kurukshetra, that he couldn't materially absorb and understand why he had to fight the battle of Kurukshetra, so Krishna had to give him divine knowledge, had to give him divine wisdom, spiritual knowledge to understand what the battle of Kurukshetra was about. And that way Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, and he was able to become victorious, because he was an instrument in the hands of Krishna. So it is said that when Krishna wants to give with his unlimited hands, how much can we accept with our two hands? And if Krishna wants to take, away with his unlimited hands, how much can we hold back with our limited scope? So Krishna gives more than we can actually fathom and understand. So the main fact that Arjuna, who was an earthly being, in Bhagavatam we understand how there's interplanetary affairs. So sometimes personalities from the earth planet can go to heavenly planets, can go to the planets of Brahma or the great sages. So it is not an easy task to perform, but Arjuna was able to do this because Krishna willed. So it wasn't a major issue, it wasn't much of an endeavor. So Arjuna, being an earthly being, was transported in his self-same body to the heavenly planets. And Prabhupada specifically mentions that this is only by Krishna's desire, otherwise it is not possible. We know Prabhupada raised here that there was no moon expedition. How can anyone try to go to the moon without having the qualification of having the body? Just like we cannot go to India or America without a visa. We have to get that. So to travel to these higher realms, we need the qualification. So Arjuna's qualification was that he was favored by the Supreme Lord. So in this fourth question, Prabhupada is explaining the potency of Krishna in terms of the super soul, how the super soul is the sanctioner, how the super soul is the perimeter of all the activities of the living entities. So it is by the mercy of Krishna's expansion, the Paramatma, that we are able to recollect our intelligence, that we are able to put into application the process of remembrance of Krishna, the process of direct service to Krishna. So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says that when he resides in the heart of the living entity, he destroys this ignorance by dispelling knowledge. So we know that Krishna is likened to the sun, and wherever the sun is, there cannot be any darkness. So Krishna says that the shining lamp of knowledge, he destroys the darkness born of ignorance, and that is the super soul dwelling in the heart. So when the living entity is ready to accept the authority of Krishna, Krishna gets rid of the ignorance by sharing divine knowledge, and then by giving us the right type of association. So we've also been hearing, along with Krishna's potency, his expansion as the super soul, is the sign of Krishna's mercy. When we are able to connect and understand that the presence of the super soul is there, the super soul of course manifests in the form of guru. When Krishna sees the sincere endeavor and the sincere effort of a disciple, he externally manifests and sends Sri Guru so that he is able to guide us. Because we're not pure enough, Prabhupada explains in the fifth canto, the pastime of King Puranjana, that we're not pure enough to directly take instruction from the super soul. So the super soul further manifests as the spiritual master. And in that way, we're slowly guided into the process of bhakti or devotional service. So the mercy of Krishna comes in the form of the super soul, and also the mercy of Krishna comes in the form of the devotee. And in text 8 of this chapter, you see how Krishna himself was very merciful to a demon, Maya Dhanava, just because that demon did some service for his devotee Arjuna. So just because Maya Dhanava showed some affection towards Arjuna, Lord Krishna did not kill him, but he spared him. This is because he just had some contact with his pure devotee. And that is why the purpose of Prabhupada is also explaining that the devotee is more merciful than Krishna. And Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is very strict. He set out his rules, what he expects us to do. Krishna tells us to surrender to him. We must surrender. And we see with Lord Chaitanya that not only was he merciful, but he was also merciful to the most fallen, even to persons who were not interested in Krishna Bhakti. So Lord Chaitanya is a devotee of Krishna, simultaneously he is Krishna. So we can see that the mercy of a devotee sometimes appears to be more potent or more easily available than the mercy coming from Krishna. Ultimately, it is all coming from Krishna. But it is very important for us to understand that to get the mercy of a devotee brings us closer to Krishna in a faster way. For example, if we do not have the purpose of Srila Prabhupada, or if we do not have the presence of Srila Prabhupada, it will become very difficult for us to understand our ignorant state, to understand the material existence, to understand the function of the mind, to understand what intelligence is, to understand the process of devotional service. By ourselves, it will be very difficult, close to impossible. But because a pure devotee of Krishna has come and made it easy for us to perceive Krishna, we receive directly their mercy and receiving simultaneously the mercy of Krishna. So, in Bhagavad Gita, in the 10th chapter where Krishna is explaining his opulences, how he's the origin of everything, all different opulences are sparking from Krishna's shaktis, although they might manifest through nature, although they might manifest in different types of living entities. Ultimately, they are all coming from Krishna. So I'll read the verse in the translation. Krishna explains, Tesham evan kamparktam aham agyanam dantamaha nasayami atma bhavasto agyanam panapashtata. Krishna explains that when he shows the devotee special mercy, he dwelling in the heart, and that is the super soul, Krishna's mercy incarnation dwelling in the heart, destroys with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So by Krishna's mercy, he gives us this knowledge, and he gives us the intelligence and the psychological structure to be able to just catch a glimpse of his nature. So later on in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains to us further how much we're dependent on him. And even our forgetfulness is dependent upon Krishna's mercy. Krishna has to give us the energy to forget, and that is the external energy, of course. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, Prabhupada has quoted it here, and Krishna is the source of all remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So when we are ready, when we are sincerely ready, Krishna sends us the help that is required. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna wasn't ready to hear Bhagavad Gita. He was putting forward all his reasons. We all know Arjuna's reasons for not wanting to follow Krishna's instructions. And that is the position of the conditioned soul, that we are bombarded by false notions of understanding what life is about. We have these false notions that we think we know how to do things, when to do things, but understanding that we have four defects, that should humble us to always go back to Krishna to hear how we should live our life. And Bhagavad Gita is the manual. Srimad Bhagavatam is a manual given by the acharyas. So Arjuna in the beginning is putting forward all his arguments, all his mental speculation, why he doesn't want to ultimately follow Krishna's instructions, because he thinks he knows best. He thinks he has the jnana, he thinks karmically it will be better for him. He thinks intelligently from a logical point of view, he is right. But Krishna, throughout the different chapters of Bhagavad Gita, was refuting these arguments of Arjuna. Everything from his compassionate argument to Vana Chakra, to enjoying the kingdom, elevation to heavenly planets, Krishna was defeating all these arguments, still based on Shastra, showing Arjuna that just listen to what I'm saying. And then ultimately, after Arjuna had, by Krishna's mercy, understood his futile attempt to actually try to master Mishra existence, he surrendered to Krishna. Then he accepted Krishna as the authority. And that is actually the only way to crack out of the maze of Mishra existence is to surrender to Krishna, to accept Krishna's instruction, because Mishra existence is like a maze. A maze means you enter and you don't know how to get out. So we have no knowledge where to go, how to go. And as the person who designs that maze can actually explain to us how to get out. So Krishna explains that he's the source of both matter and spirit. That he himself created this entire domain, and he knows how to transgress these laws of material nature. Himself being supremely pure, does not get tainted by the laws of material nature. So Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita as well, in line with this purport, about how Arjuna ultimately won the battlefield of Kurukshetra, how he progressively perfected his service to Krishna. And Prabhupada mentions also a very important line at the end, that because Arjuna was the most affectionate devotee, the Lord did everything himself, and Arjuna didn't have to be in any kind of anxiety. And that is the way of devotional service to the Lord. So actually, by placing all our faith in Krishna, by placing all our existence upon Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna himself will personally see to it that we make our path back home, back to Godhead, very smooth and easy. As Lord Prabhupada is explaining, in the 13th chapter, Prabhupada is explaining about the interaction of the modes of material nature and how the conditioned soul gets covered by these modes of material nature. Prabhupada explains about the intelligence of the jiva, that gradually Krishna gives us buddhi, he gives us intelligence how to steadily move towards him, and by that intelligence we get to understand what the ultimate goal of progress in Krishna consciousness is. That our ultimate goal is not just to understand aham namasmi, I'm spirit soul. That's not the goal. Yes, that is just the beginning, but it is not the goal. So when the goal is assigned, when you understand that I'm a servant, aham namasmi, I'm a servant of Krishna, then the path is very slowly transgressed by engaging in the process of Samana Bhakti. By understanding that we're spirit and we're part and parcel of Krishna, we're different answers of Krishna, and we're meant to serve the whole, then very slowly that ultimate goal is achieved. That ultimate goal of being in Krishna's abode, being in Krishna's association, it is achieved. It can be achieved in this lifetime. As Prabhupada said, you do not have to quit your body to go back home, back to Godhead. It's not that being supremely pure means that you see Krishna in front of you all the time. Prabhupada makes this point in the 11th canto that we have so many pure devotees who are always in separation of Krishna. Devotees like Narada Muni, devotees like Prahlada Maharaj, so many different devotees. They do not have the direct vision of Krishna. but they are the topmost devotee because they are serving Krishna in separation. So the goal is not just to understand that we are spirit, but is to understand that we are servant of Krishna and we engage in Krishna's service, and that is the way that we become victorious, and that is the way that in this life we can achieve perfection. So that perfection means attaining the favor of Krishna, just as Arjuna has attained the favor of Krishna. And it is because of that relationship with Krishna that Arjuna seemingly did impossible things. It is only by Krishna's grace. So for us, that should really stand out, that anything is possible as long as we keep ourselves at Krishna's lotus feet. If we're affectionate towards Krishna, which means we act in ways that are pleasing towards Krishna, when we act in ways that are pleasing towards Krishna, then Krishna himself personally will see to our progress in devotional service. And that is what Krishna was doing for the Pandavas, and that is what Krishna is doing for Arjuna. So this lesson about the Pandavas retiring is a mere synopsis of the nature of a surrendered soul towards Krishna. So the nature of a surrendered soul towards Krishna is that he has that intelligence, that understanding that everything that he has is coming from Krishna ultimately. Whatever service that we're doing, the intelligence is coming from Krishna. Sure, we are making the endeavor, but actually everything is coming from Krishna. So even in there's one pastime of Pingala, the Pingala Gita. In the one of the purports, towards the end, where Pingala is being frustrated by her material desires, Srila Prabhupada explains that it is at that point where Pingala was lamenting about her useless materialistic mentality, then the super soul gave her the intelligence to actually move away from material sense gratification. So it was by the mercy of the super soul. She was inspired by the super soul within to turn towards Krishna. So ultimately, even the smallest things that we do, it is Krishna is giving us that mercy. Krishna is giving us that intelligence to act in favorable ways that will please him. So even Pingala, she's lamenting, she's singing a song about material existence and how she was enjoying. But at some point, during her frustration, Krishna bestowed his mercy by inciting her intelligence from within. And that is the super soul. Prabhupada explained that it is the super soul that actually inspired Pingala to desist from material existence. So this is the wonderful mercy of Krishna. What to speak of when you are acting in accordance with Krishna's plans, how much mercy you will get from him. Not that we are just waiting for Krishna's mercy all the time, we act and we wait. But Krishna, naturally, just like an affectionate father will always show affection towards his children, Krishna will show his affection towards his children as long as we behave and follow Krishna's guidelines, his codes, and his conduct. So it may seem inconceivable that we may be able to cross over the ocean of material existence. But if it is possible for a surrendered soul like Arjuna to transverse the modes of material nature and go to the heavenly planet in his self-same body, then it is possible for us to defeat or cross over the ocean of material existence as long as we know how to please Krishna. And the best way to please Krishna, to get Krishna's favor, is to get the favor of Krishna's devotees. And get the blessings of Krishna's devotee by serving them sincerely, with affection, not just service mentally, but with affection, with a desire to please the devotee. Even if we do not perfect, Prabhupada explained, even if we do not perfect the service, but it is the sincere endeavor and the effort that the devotee sees, and that is the reciprocation. Just like when a child, Prabhupada often used the example, when a child is learning how to walk, the child keeps falling over all the time because they're learning. The effort is there, but for the parents, that is a success. That child is making the effort. The parent is very happy and enthused. And the parent offers all support. Although the child keeps falling, or the child tries to speak his broken language, the parent still shows affection because the child is making a sincere effort. So Krishna, similarly, when he sees our endeavor, he reciprocates. And we cannot blame Krishna for reciprocating with another living entity in a specific way, and reciprocating with us in a specific way. Krishna is the perfect reciprocator. So the way in which Krishna reciprocates with us, it is perfect. And we should trust that he knows how to inspire the best love out of us for him, for our purification. So ultimately, it is placing our faith in Krishna, knowing that Krishna will give us all protection. That is the position of Arjuna. That is the position of the Pandavas. They only had full faith in Krishna, and that is why they were successful, and that is why they crossed over so many hurdles in their Krishna consciousness, because they placed their faith in Krishna. Not on their jnana, not on their karma, not on their anything, but just Krishna. So I'll stop there and ask if there's any comment or question. Okay, so the question is, how does the super soul manifest as guru? And sometimes the guru falls down. How does the super soul fall down? So, Prabhupada explains that the manifestation of the super soul as guru means that the super soul, the expansion of Krishna, can see the sincere desire to want to become Krishna conscious. So Krishna arranges that we come across Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru. So we come across devotees who will guide us on the path of bhakti. Now we understand the position of Guru Tattva, just like Shiva Tattva, it is very difficult to understand. So the Guru is also a living entity, an individual living entity who is empowered by Krishna. Sometimes they are called Kshatriyas, they become empowered by Krishna to reclaim the fallen souls. Now sometimes the living entity may for some time not practice Krishna consciousness or fall down. And Prabhupada in the fifth canto also explains, actually in the past time, which canto is the custom of Maharaj Jitrakhetri? In the sixth canto, Prabhupada, the proper word Prabhupada is explaining that sometimes when a devotee leaves or when a guru falls down, it can be because of offenses. And he said two things, offenses, or Krishna is using that devotee as an example to show how careful we must be in the process of bhakti. So we don't find it so much in the Bhagavatam. We have the custom, of course, of Bharat Maharaj, where Prabhupada makes that point that it was not that everyone on the level of Bhava would fall down, but the Acharyas put it there to show us how careful we must be in bhakti. That even if we're very advanced, we're still careful. We don't think that I have nailed it, I have mastered it. But we're still very careful in the application of Krishna consciousness. And that we are never inattentive. As Prabhupada says, even if we're inattentive for one moment, we may cut ourselves, we may fall down from the practice of bhakti. So the super soul manifests in the form of guru, which means the super soul manifests his mercy by sending us devotees who will teach us about the process of bhakti. But at the same time, they're individuals and they also have their relationship with Krishna. Sometimes they might fall down for some time, but their bhakti is never lost. So the super soul and the guru, they're two separate, they're not one, they are simultaneously one and different.
I heard that Indra received a parrot from the sages who knew Bhagavad Gita, is that right?
Received a parrot?
From the sages. And the parrot knew Bhagavad Gita by heart, every morning he would recite. That's how she got enlightenment. Is that correct?
I can't comment on that. I've never heard that before. Maybe you can ask someone after this. I haven't heard it before.
Jiva Goswami is a sage.
Jiva Goswami is a sage. Can someone check?
Yes.
Jiva Goswami is a sage. Okay, lovely. So, I don't know that. However, you can read on this one is actually, there's a book called The Six Goswamis. I actually have it in my bag. And it is basically the life sketch of all the Goswamis. He was the nephew of the Sanatana Goswami, of course. And Prabhupada explains him to be the most prolific writer in the entire Sampradaya, Siddha Goswami. So you can read about him today on his ISKCON Desire Tree, or you can read about him on a devotee website called kindofiskcon.com, and there they have, on every disappearance, on every festival, they give descriptions of the personalities, so you can read about them during the day. And Prabhupada would always say that we meditate on these devotees, whether it's appearance or disappearance day, and pray for their blessings, that we may follow their footsteps and desire to serve Radha and Krishna under the guidance of our spiritual master. So we can spend the day reading a bunch of the Goswami today.
You want to listen to your Goswami?
I just rambled on for like 10 seconds before. I didn't prepare anything. I actually didn't check the calendar, please forgive me. But I'm sure you can read about it.
Few words.
I said a few words. You weren't listening, I said a few words. I did say he was the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan. He studied under them. He wrote many books. He wrote the many Sandavas, the Bhakti Sandava, the Jiva Sandava, Krishna Sandavas, where he explains the tattva, the nature of different aspects in the Sampradaya, residing in Vrindavan, of course. Different pastimes that happened with him, where he defeated the Digvijaya Pandit, and how his brothers were upset. They sent him out, and then later on he came back and explained that he would not stand when the Vaishnavas are, or when the Vaishnava philosophy is not being upheld, and that is why he defeated an argument at a very young age, the Digvijaya Pandit, Keshava Kashmir. So there's many times about Jiva Goswami, his entire life sketch. You can read about it on canadiscon.com, or you can go to ISKCON Desire Tree under Vaishnava Acharyas. There's a section on Srila Jiva Goswami. All his writings, all the books that he's written, his autobiography.
You have heard about Ranjan University. When I was in university, the whole section, the whole library.
Okay. The role of Guru in spiritual world. The Guru, in any pastime you will see, there is, even amongst the gopis, there's always a chief gopi who will guide the devotees on how to serve Radha and Krishna. So we have Vrinda Devi, we have Lalita, Vishakha, 33 million gopis, and they all have their servants. So even at, on the topmost level, we always have Guru because we never directly serve Krishna. So we always approach, we're maid servants, we're das das angdas. So we're always under the shelter, even on the topmost level, we're always under the shelter of the spiritual master. So it might be a gopi, it might be a cowherd man, etc. But we're always guided by someone on how to serve Krishna. So we have our specific service in the spiritual world, whether it's holding betel nut or picking flowers, but then we're guided how to do that, where to take them, how to do everything. That is also then, it's not in the same sense here that we're learning how to do everything. Here we're just taking the training how to actually become a devotee. In the spiritual world, you're already fully in love with Krishna, and that is ever increasing at every moment. So each time we are being taught how to perfect our love for Krishna. That is why the Guru, he is also there in the spiritual world, but it is different from how it is here. But the guidance, it is always there. The Jiva never directly approaches Radha and Krishna.
That point, our object of human life is prema pamartho mahan. You want to tell something?
The object of our life is to revive our loving propensity to serving Krishna. And in the Vaishnava tradition, of course, humility plays a very important part. We are always pushing others to serve Krishna. So Srimati Radharani herself is always encouraging other gopis, other maidservants to serve Krishna, always encouraging them to increase their service to Krishna. So the more you bring others to Krishna, you also get enlightened. That is preaching. Preaching gives us life. We're not directly in perception with Krishna, but Krishna is reciprocating with our bhakti. So the more we do that, the more we revive our dormant propensity to love Krishna. And ultimately, pure love of God, it's already there. Prabhupada explains, pure love of God is already situated in the heart. It is lying dormant. It's kind of like, it's just waiting to be, the seed is waiting to be watered by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. And as soon as we start doing that, that dormant love gradually reawakens. But at this point, it is lying covered by false notion of, you know, I'm this, I'm black, I'm white, different degrees of false ego. But the more we hear and chant, that ignorance is cleared and our natural love for Krishna is awakened. It's already there. Just like the walking propensity is already there, we just have to practice how to walk. Everything we do is preaching. Have a nice family, that's preaching. Talk about Krishna, that is preaching. Prasadam is preaching. Our entire lifestyle is preaching. Being happy is preaching. So everything that we do is, this place is like an embassy of the spiritual world. So everything that we do here is preaching. Sitting down in class is preaching. Hearing is preaching. Chanting is preaching. People get enlightened.
Chanting is preaching.
Chanting is preaching.
Oh.
chant the holy name, you are spreading the names of Krishna. So you're spreading the word of God. Lord Chaitanya said his name will be sang and chanted in every town and village. So by us sitting and chanting, that is the proof. This is not Bharat, right? This is Australia. And we chant Krishna's name in Australia. That is preaching. Thank you very much, Grant Maharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you.